for the Athletic Podcast Network. This is The Update. I'm Adam Copeland. On today's show, we'll talk to Bill Lasky, former Giants pitcher, as well as pregame and postgame host for Giants baseball on the weekends on KNBR 104.5 and 680, about what the Giants should do this offseason. A little recap of 2021. We've all got questions about how Farhan fills out this roster, pitching, and maybe goes after a couple of big-name free agents. All things we can talk about with Bill Lasky, who joins me next. Today is Monday, October 25th. It is always fun when I welcome my good friend Bill Lasky to the podcast. He, of course, does pre and post game over on KNBR before and after every Giants game on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And Bill, no more of those. No more of those for 2021, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, Adam. Yeah, it kind of just shut down real quick. You know, you don't even have a recap show. But at the same time, you know, I followed the Giants as well as you did, and they had a very productive season, 107 wins. You can't shake your head about it. A very, very solid season for the San Francisco Giants.
You know, I was thinking about what you just said, where you don't get a recap show. It just sort of all comes to an end. It's so I was talking to Grant Brisby about this, that there's a sense of finality to the end of a baseball season because you don't have the countdown on a clock like you do in basketball or hockey or football, and it doesn't end until the final out is made. And so, you know, Wilmer Flores checks wings, the game is over, and you're all just kind of standing there holding your heart in your hand going, oh no, it's all over. You look back and you say, yeah, it's a successful year, but if you balance what the Giants are feeling going into next year versus like what the Dodgers are going through right now, you know, if the Dodgers don't win the World Series after 106 wins after going there last year, they have to feel like this is a failure, whereas Giants fans have to feel like this was a total surprise, a total lucky, not a lucky, but a total positive thing going into 2022.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, when you balance both teams, there's not really a balance. You got a team spending over $200 million on a team, and they're just buying, trying to fill in spots when they went and got Scherzer and Turner. Those are good spots for them, but, you know, they also had a lot of issues within themselves. So they're trying to regain that power they had last year in a 60-game World Series championship, and they're trying to show people, hey, we can do this in 162 games. When you're looking at the balance of the Giants and the Dodgers, no doubt about it. We didn't see this coming with the Giants season they had and different people in different spots and veterans and rookies and people they traded all came through. It was very, very happy season. And I can see the front office as well as Gabe Kapler and the coaches saying, hey, we did something right. We have a blueprint. Now we just have to, you know, put that puzzle back together in the winter and hopefully come out in spring with that same kind of aggressiveness, positiveness, and confidence in that clubhouse.
Well, and the next year changes because then you have expectations. Then you want to win that number of games and you want to go further than game five of the NLDS. Let me ask you this. When you played, and we'd have to go back and look and see what happened in each of those years after the season ended for you, but I heard Gabe and Farhan talking at their postseason press conference saying it took Gabe a few days before he was able to jump back in and pay attention because the Dodgers series ended, and then they started playing 2 days later against the Atlanta Braves in the LCS. He was like, I needed a couple of days. I didn't dive into it immediately. As a fan, I waited until game two before I even started watching. I needed a few days to breathe. How about you? When the season ended for you, and obviously when you played we didn't get every game at all times of the day televised nationally, but what was your feeling when the season ended? Were you ready for a breather, or did you dive back in and watch the playoffs as a fan?
I think more mentally exhausted because you're stressed out, you're pushing yourself, your mind is always constantly thinking, you don't sleep well. You know, Ron Woda said this, even as a coach, you go home and you're depressed, you're happy, you know, the mood swings are every day, every hour, and you start thinking, what can I do tomorrow? And that's the same thing as a player and a pitcher's mentality. You just don't rest, and once the season's over, you're like a bear, you hibernate. You literally just stay in bed for hours, and you get up and eat, and you go back to bed, or you watch a movie, and the downtime now is hours upon hours and days upon days to get back in that gym and start working out, because you have to have a downtime for your body. You have to have a mental check and just kind of you're exhausted. And I think that's kind of what what I did. The next couple of days after that fifth game, I was exhausted. And even though I didn't go Monday through Friday, I did weekends. But during the week, I wrote a lot of notes down. I did my homework. I did, you know, balancing thing of what pitchers are doing and who's in a bullpen. You know, you're kind of managing at home and seeing what the expectations are for the following game. But there's no doubt about it. That front office, Gabe Kapler and all the coaches are totally exhausted. You need about 48 to 72 hours to kind of digest what happened. And it's kind of like a sucker punch. You didn't realize that was going to come to an end that fast. And sure enough, it did after Game 5.
I want to put you a little bit on the spot here, Bill. We do these hits all season long before Giants games. I come on with you and Marty on KMBR in the mornings and in the afternoons before these games. And for the last couple of years, you and I, you know me, I like to be an old-school baseball mind. I'll maneuver a little bit. I'll adapt a little bit. But you and I sort of commiserated together on the evolution of baseball over the last couple of years. Are you in a position now to say you're all in on what Farhan and Gabe have done? I know aesthetically it's not necessarily fun. We watched the opener this postseason with the Dodgers, and we saw it in Game 5, Corey Knebel, and then Gratterall, and then Urias. Like, I like the traditional setup for a starting pitcher also. But as far as using the analytics, not having the same lineup every day, has your perspective on the way to win in baseball changed after 2021?
I have to say it, Adam, it has. And it's a different perspective on how I look at baseball now, yeah. How pitching is used and how bench players are used. And the Giants did everything correct. They used players. They didn't have guys sitting there two or three days without an at-bat. They didn't use their bullpen. They gave them a day off here and there. And the perspective is exactly their blueprint. And I keep going back to this because it is true. This is what they maintained. This is what they thought right when Gabe got the job. In his first year, I remember you and I criticized him a few times on radio. You and I talked about it. We were not Gabe Kapler fans. They didn't show me enough in the pitching staff. They didn't give Bailey enough room to work with his pitchers. This year, a whole different idea came through Gabe Kapler. Bailey went to the mound many times. Bailey worked the phones. Bailey did this with his pitching staff. And I loved it. I loved when a pitching coach had more emphasis on what to do in the pitching department. His hitting coaches did more. So I think Gabe Kapler learned from his first year to have his coaches have success. And I think that moving forward is a huge, huge plus when you look at the players and how they reacted, how they worked with them, and how that clubhouse just became stronger by the day.
Yeah, it's really, really impressive. And I'm with you. I didn't want to like the situation. And then not only did they go out and make the playoffs, they did it with the best team in San Francisco Giants history. It's incredible, man. And so when we look at what we're just talking about, how they did it differently with using the roster, using pitching, how they developed pitching throughout the season. I am wondering, based on what we've seen from Farhan, based on how the Dodgers have done things over the last decade, really, with establishing their team with young players, trading for talent. To me, Chris Bryant making that trade, traditionally, it's not what the Dodgers would have done over this run to re-sign that player. They did it with Manny Machado, let him walk. They did it with Yu Darvish, let him walk. Rendon, let him walk. They acquired these players, then they just went on their way. I'm sort of thinking the Giants may be doing the same thing. Acquire Chris Bryant for this team, let him walk, develop talent, and then maybe next year they're back in the market at trade deadline time to acquire another big player. What do you think is going to happen with Bryant and some of these big-name free agents?
You know, I feel the way you are. I'm 50-50. You know, in the middle of September, I thought for sure it was probably 80-20, 90-10 that they were going to sign him. Now, as the season ends, I think what Farhan said in that press conference, there's going to be a lot of suitors going after him. Now, of course, you're hearing the New York Mets trying to possibly bring him in to play third base. Third base is a hole for the Mets. I hear that constantly through some of the professionals. John Heyman was talking about that, about free agents, and he just felt that the Mets were going to inquire about Chris Bryant as well as the Giants trying to keep ropes on him. It's going to come down to payroll, no doubt about it. We've heard Farhan saying he wants to try to keep the nucleus of this team. I would love to see Chris Bryant come here, but I'd like to see Chris Bryant play one position and possibly move around. I just didn't like him playing right, center, and left all three different games. Played first base in the playoffs, and he never played first base for the Giants throughout the season. And you can't expect him to be the best defensive player when you're moving him around that much. There's going to be holes. There's things, especially at Oracle Park, to play right field. It's a difficult place to play right field. And we saw a couple times where he was trying to get that ball to right center field, and he was a step away. And those things you're going to have to learn on. But you know what? I'd love to see Chris Bryant back in a Giants uniform, but I'd like to see him solidify either play left field, center field, and leave him there unless you start maneuvering players.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. You know, one of the rumors that's been around is, and I hate to say this, man, Chris Taylor of the Dodgers. That would be a tough pill to swallow, man, having him come over. He'd sort of be like the diet version of Chris Bryant, right? Getting Chris Taylor over here, playing all those positions. He's hitting big home runs, a three-homer game in the LCS in Game 5 for the Dodgers. How would you be able to adapt to a Dodger coming over, like that prominent of a Dodger, throwing on black and orange?
Well, I think it could possibly be. He's a free agent. There's no doubt he's going to get a lot of suitors after him, and I'm sure Farhan's looking at him too. And the middle of September, it was funny because in a postgame show, I take callers, and one of the callers asked me who was the free agent market you'd want, and I had said Chris Taylor. And Kerry picked up on it, and Kerry said, I heard you say that. Why? And I said, he fits the realm of what Farhan likes, and Farhan has a relationship with him. Gabe's got a relationship with him. The way he's been playing and his way, different positions, he is that kind of Farhan guy. And you know what? I don't think anybody's going to look as him being a Dodger. If he comes over and plays for the orange and black, you know he's going to know what the rivalry is about. He's going to come over here as a free agent getting paid a lot of money, and he's going to have to produce. And I think that's the only problem that he's going to have to look into is I got to come over here and be that star that I was in a Dodger uniform. But you know what, Adam? I just don't think the Dodgers are going to let him go.
Yeah, he could command some money, but I don't think he's up there with the Chris Bryants and the likes of those superstars. It's not quite as big of a deal, but it's kind of like, remember when Oral Hershiser threw on the Giants uni? I don't know about that, man. I was a kid from that happened. I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, it didn't look good, did it? He was just a Dodger in my eyes. And when he put on that uniform, it was just like, that just doesn't fit. It just doesn't. Orioles is just not a Giant. He was always a Dodger in my mind, too.
Or the other one I think about is when Brett Butler went over to the Dodgers and said, yeah, I felt like God always wanted me in Dodger blue. I was like, I don't think God cares who you're playing for, Brett.
Yeah, I agree there. And Jason Schmidt was another one. I just, you know, of course he was injured for that three-year contract, but he was another one that when he came over from Pittsburgh, I thought he was a Giant for life, and then when he signed 3 years, made a lot of money on the IL, but at the same time, he just didn't fit in as a Dodger blue either.
In that case, he may have been a pretty good Giant in Dodger blue, right? Taking all that money and not pitching against the Giants. One more for you on the way out, Bill. Is there a player or a couple of players or something you want the Giants to do this offseason, something that would encourage you, maybe not win 107 next year, but would lead you to believe that they would be good enough by, it, whether it's bringing back Gausman and Wood and DeSclafani or trying to go and get Noah Syndergaard Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander? Is there somebody out there or a move you want made this offseason that's going to make you confident in 2022?
I think, you know, Adam, you and I always talk about pitching. That's what I love to talk about. And they have to really circle the wagons on starting rotation. Gausman, of course, is a number one guy. And they keep saying he's one of those free agents that a lot of people are going to go after, but not on those top tier players, like you says, Scherzer, different type of caliber pitchers. I just don't think the Giants are going to look at the top tier pitchers. I think they're going to look at that second tier free agents. Gausman's one of the guys I think that they will try to sign and sign at a relatively decent number, not a $30 million deal. It's probably going to, he had 18.5 this year, maybe 20 to 25 for 2 or 3 years. He has no arm issues. The whole thing is about the split finger. DeSclafani's another guy that really maxed out the most innings he's ever thrown in his career. And you could see what happened at the end. He was gassed. He had nothing in that game against the Dodgers. He was going out there with gut. And Gut didn't make it too well because he didn't last more than 2 innings or even less than that. Alex Wood, I worry about injuries with Alex Wood, even though he has some great, great repertoire of pitches and he's on when he wants to be. I think those three, you're really going to have to see what kind of money they're demanding. And you know what? There's going to be other starting pitchers. There could be trades. But I want to see some good starting pitching. And I think Farhan saw what he saw. You know, you had to go to AAA to get Scott Kazmir to possibly start. I think you're going to see more pitching in AAA this year and maybe even filter down to AA just to have guys ready to go. I think he is going to max out on pitching, and I think he's just going to continue to keep signing guys left and right because they ran out of pitching. And you and I both said, how could you do that? Well, they did. They tried everybody. They even tried guys that you never even thought would get a shot, and they did, and it didn't work. So I think that's the number one priority. I would love to see some big names, but I just don't think they're going to spend that way. I think they're going to go right back to what they did, some secondhand starters that could possibly push them and teach them different ways to use their pitches, as well as max out, see how they can get them to 6-7 innings and go to the bullpen. And you go to the bullpen side, I think he's got a good quality bullpen, especially with Duvall and Castro, two names that can be in the big leagues, and both those guys should be. And then you go to Rogers, McGee, DeLeon. That's a pretty solid bullpen, and I'm sure he will fix it and build it. And we'll see what they do, because they got a lot of homework to do, and they got a lot to do here once the World Series gets over. Free agent market is live.
Well, Bill, one of the best things is having an offseason with hope the following year, and we haven't had that in a few years. Should be an exciting 2022. Always fun talking ball with you, man. We'll catch up later.
Adam, thanks for everything this year, and thanks for joining me and Marty on the pregame show. It was great talking to you, and it's always a pleasure seeing you in real life when I do, and at the same time, have a great offseason, my friend, and we'll chat soon.
You too, man. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Always great stuff from Bill Lasky. Going to miss talking to Bill every weekend before Giants baseball, and I'm just going to miss Giants baseball in general, but the winter comes, the holidays come, we turn the calendar, and then in February, we will be right back in Scottsdale getting ready for a 2022 Giants campaign, and all season long, we'll be talking about the free agent situation as well. Thank you to Bill. Thank you to Brian, my producer. And thank you to you, the listener. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever it is you're listening. Warrior basketball in full swing. We've also got to talk about the 49ers and the Colts and look ahead to week 8 of the NFL season. There is plenty more to come on the update in the days and weeks ahead. Until then, everybody enjoy the week. We'll talk to you Wednesday.